Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day you have made. This is the day that we come to your house and we pray and we worship you. It's all about you, Lord. It's nothing about us. And Lord, I just want to give many thanks to Martha Sitzler and the Hope Pregnancy Center, Lord. They're here for our community. They're here for unborn life, Lord, and we are so thankful. And Lord, I ask you to choose life, Lord. And we are so fortunate to have Martha and the Hope Center here working with us and for us, and most of all, for you, Lord. And Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to settle amongst us in here this morning, that we have feel the Holy Spirit, and we know the Holy Spirit is with us this morning, Lord. We're thankful for each and every person that's here. We're thankful for each and every visitor we have, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning as Brother Cal brings the message to us, and ask you to bless the message, and ask you to bless Billy Walker as he brings the Sunday school lessons to us, and bless each and every Sunday school worker we have, dear Lord. They're important, from the small ones all the way up to the adults, Lord. And it starts with the small ones. We ask you to speak to their hearts and speak to everybody's hearts this morning. We're waiting to hear from you this morning, dear Lord. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, be finding Luke chapter 4. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4 this morning. If you're glad you're in the house of the Lord today, say amen.
Amen.
Isn't God good? Amen. All the time. Now, it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday all across our Southern Baptist Convention. Thousands of pastors are going to be preaching about life. And and they're going to be preaching about the sanctity and the sacredness of life. I'm so blessed. I think Martha may have mentioned the verse. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says, "Choose life, that you and your descendants may live." That's God's will. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, and verse 10, he said, "I've come that you might have and might have it more abundantly." And so I agree with Martha. I thank God that millions of unborn babies are now going to have a fighting chance at life, because Roe versus Wade has been overturned. But the fight's not over. And we stand with you all over on North 2nd Street. We're there for you. We support you. Some of you could volunteer there. And we're going to fill up these baby bottles. The kids are going to be handing those out at the end of the service. So I'm thankful for that. But, you know, most of the time on Sanctity of Life Sunday, I preach on the evils of abortion and all of that stuff. But, you know, God just laid it on my heart this week. If you're pro-life, it's so much more than just being anti-abortion. Much more. If you believe in life, you believe that every human being has value and equality. And if you're alive this morning, y'all wave at me so I know that you're alive and you're not asleep in some chair this morning. If you're alive this morning, you've got basic fundamental human rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And I don't care what, it doesn't matter what, you've got those rights, whether you're unborn, preborn, newborn, whether you're elderly or whether you're special needs, life is for everyone. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came to give us life. Now, we're going to continue to fight for the rights of the unborn, but I want to talk about what it means to be pro-life. It means so much more than what we think of. It's not. It's more than just being anti-abortion. And Now, guess who preached a sermon on being pro-life? Jesus did. And he had gone, like it was his custom, he had gone to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he was in his hometown. And when he showed up, they gave him a copy of the scriptures and asked him to read and give some commentary. And that's what he did. And he read from Isaiah 61. And then after he finished the reading of it, he sat down. And then he said these words, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He was claiming to be their Messiah. He said, "I'm the long-awaited anointed one." And guess what his hometown folk did? They wanted to throw him over the cliff. They wanted to kill him. And they missed the message of being pro-life. So what does it mean to be pro-life? Look at your neighbor and say, "Have you got that answer?" Now tell somebody the Word of God has that answer. All right, let's stand to our feet as we honor God's Word, if you can do that. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and our focal passage verse is verse 18, but let's read. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now here's our verse for the morning. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Somebody shout amen. Amen. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's boy?" That's the Calhampton Standard Version of that verse. You understand what I'm saying? I want to ask my brother, James Coles, would you ask God to bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of His Word this morning, brother? Thank you.
Father God, we bless your name today, God. We bless the Word of God that comes forth today, God.
Yes.
Open our minds to receive what He has for us to sing tonight, God. Father God, we bless your name today. Be worthy to be praised, God. Bless the speaker.
Yes, you are.
Father God, and stand boldly, Father God. Open the mouth, God, let you be heard, Father God. And stand behind the podium, God, let you be seen, God. We give you all honor and all glory for this word today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. Now, what does it mean to be pro-life? Well, he begins by telling us to preach the gospel to the poor. We believe in the value and a quality of life. Everybody ought to have life. But we are surrounded by poor people. By the way, you were born poor. You were born poor spiritually. All of us were poor. We were lost and undone. We were scrambling around trying to find our way. No direction, no purpose, no meaning. Until somebody gave you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is God's will that we might preach good news to those who are spiritually poor. Now, your notes say that it gives a reference there, 2 Corinthians 2, 8, 9. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 8, and 9. And in that verse, it says this, "Jesus left heaven, who being rich became poor for your sakes, that through his poverty you might become rich." And so we're here to preach the riches of Jesus Christ. Bless God. I wish everybody had Jesus. There's no one like him. He's the best thing we got going. Amen? Amen? I mean, there is something about Jesus. And so he has told us to minister life, to preach the good news to folks who are spiritually poor. And we're going to continue to do that. That's why we're starting a good news club out here at the Kenwood campus, the elementary school. We're trying to get the Word of God to people. people are poor spiritually. We got to get the gospel to them so that they can live. You know, how many of you knew you were once dead in trespasses and sin before Jesus came marching into your life? Don't you wish everybody had what we've got? Well, that's what we got to do. But, you know, and that's why we're prayer walking in the schools, James. I mean, that's why we're up at Moore School and Smith School. That's what we're trying to do. We want to get the word out about Jesus. But now, people are not only poor spiritually, they're poor physically. There's a lot of poor people in Montgomery County. And there's folks that are hungry. That's why we've been doing food giveaways this year. And we partnered with great ministries like Manna Cafe and Loaves and Fishes. That's why we partnered with Mother to Mother, that great nonprofit organization out of Nashville, to minister to poor young mamas and young families, that we could be a blessing to them. And I want to tell you, I'm probably going to step on somebody's toes right now. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to come into this country. But I don't want to remind you of this. We're all immigrants. The only people who are not immigrants were the American Indians, and you know what happened to them, right? And so there's hundreds of scriptures about how we're to treat the strangers in our country. And we need to be a blessing to them. And people are coming here because they're, you know, I don't know if y'all have ever been out of the country, but everybody wants to come to America. Even with all our problems and troubles, we're still the most blessed nation in the world today. And they want to come here. And then when they get here, they're broke, busted. You know, our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, I had a meeting this week. I was up in Nashville. And we are ministering to some refugees from the Ukraine in Nashville. Ukrainians have had to flee because of war. Can you imagine having to pack up what little you can get in a bag and get out of this country because of war? And so we're to minister the gospel to people, not only in word, but in deed. They need both. Amen? And so if you're pro-life, you're all about being the hands and feet of Jesus to people through word and through deed. Somebody shout amen. Now, there's a second thing here. What does it mean to be pro-life? Look at it. He says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to tell you, I run across brokenhearted people all the time. People are tore all to pieces. If you don't believe that, just come and go with me this week. There are people, I mean, we've got children all across our city and our county that are brokenhearted. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the widows and orphans. There are broken homes everywhere in Montgomery County. And some of our children are abused, neglected, forgotten about, discarded, marginalized, whatever you want to call it. And we as the church are to come alongside them and bind up their wounds and heal their hearts. That's what God's called us to do. We believe in life. And I don't know if you even know this or not, but we have 6 Tennessee Baptist children's homes. 6 of them. And we've got house parents at all 6 of them. We've even got a ranch over in Millington where boys can come and learn how to ranch and farm and all that. And so we bring these kids from these broken homes in, and many of their parents are suffering from addictions. And so we raise them, and we buy clothes for them and send them to school and get them to church. I mean, that is a ministry that really counts. We minister to the brokenhearted. And by the way, the church, if anybody ought to be involved in foster care and adoption, it ought to be the church. There was about 6 of you that said amen. How many of you know, I've mentioned this before, Pastor Larry Robertson, pastor of Hilldale Baptist Church. He took in not one, not two, not three, but 4 kids. And by the way, they don't have his skin tone. And the reason he took all 4 of them in, they were their foster parents for a while. He didn't want to split any of them up. And now he has adopted them. And they are Robertsons. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it means to be pro-life. Get involved in foster care. Get involved in adoption. And Martha could preach a sermon on that right now of all these women, you know, who come to see them and who you might be able to help out there. The divorce rate continues to climb. I guarantee you, and let me just park right here and say, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Now, God doesn't like divorce. You know why? Because of what it does to the family. Duh. You know? But it's not the... And there's somebody... I mean, when a divorce takes place, a death has taken place. And guess who's supposed to heal up the brokenhearted? We are. We're to pick these folks up. And there's someone near and dear to you that's going through a crisis. Their spouse has left. And we need to help pick up the pieces and put the puzzle of their life back together. Hallelujah. We have a bereavement ministry here. You know, folks are still dying. And we need to minister to brokenhearted people. A lot of our church family is dealing with end-of-life issues right now. Samantha Milliken, we've been lifting y'all up. I mean, all the time. I was at two funeral homes yesterday. And our bereavement ministry, we need to care for those who have lost loved ones. Am I speaking to anybody here today? We need to minister to the brokenhearted. And by the way, one of the best ministries we've got is to our widows and widowers. Our deacons and a couple of our young ladies have a heart to minister to these widows and widowers. They're lonely. And once a month, we get together with them. We'll have a meal, and they usually have some type of project to take care of. And it's a great ministry. And Betty Justice, you keep sending out those care cards of yours. They minister life to the brokenhearted. We are to minister life to people with broken hearts. Why? Because we're pro-life. Because we belong to Jesus. That's why. Here's the third one. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, he's talking here about folks who are in prison, in jail. And by the way, it was Jesus who said in Matthew 25, 36, I was in prison and you came to visit me. We're supposed to minister and love on prisoners. Well, I'm not going to the jail. I'm not going to the prison. Well, that's the Word of God says we're to do that kind of thing. Why is that? Because they're all, even as horrible of the choices and decisions that those folks made, those men and women are made in the image of God. I was in at CCA prison down in Clifton, Tennessee. They had about 400 inmates, and we would have a worship service once a month, and we had two Bible studies there. And man, I'll tell you, the Bible studies, I really loved them. Because all you had to do was sit down there and open up your Bible and read a passage of Scripture, and you're off. And for 2 hours, those guys were, what about this way? And those folks know their Bibles because they got plenty of time to study them. But now it's a little bit more. You're not supposed to just know the Word. You ought to do the Word. You know, you ought to obey the Word, right? As a matter of fact, we were sitting there one day and one evening we were talking about before we'd started our Bible study. The guys were talking about their their families and their spouses and their mothers and their fathers, and they were missing them. And a couple of them mentioned why they were in there and how much longer they had to go and da 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 da. And this old prisoner at the other end of the table, he looked at me and he said, Pastor Cal. Now, anytime somebody in prison says, Reverend or Pastor Cal, I know I'm fixing to hear something significant. And he said, it's like this. He said, some of us got caught and some of us haven't. And the Spirit of God fell all over me right there. And I told that man, I said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right down here with you. We're to minister life to prisoners. The Angel Tree Ministry is a ministry at Christmas time that blesses prisoners and their families. How many of you know Pastor Bill Graham up at First Baptist? He's involved in a prison ministry called Kairos. And he and several of their men go to the prisons. And they minister life to people. They've had tons of guys saved and help them when they get out. We're to be involved in this. And by the way, there's a lot of folks in chains and in bondage that are not in a prison cell and they're not in a jail cell this morning. They're addicted to all kinds of things that the world wants to throw at you. They're addicted to alcohol and drugs and pornography and sex and food and all kinds of stuff. Amen? And so we need to lift up those and love on those who are suffering from addictions. Our Kenwood campus is beginning a Celebrate Recovery ministry. That's one of the best ministries that we're going to have in town. I'm so blessed to hear what God's doing out there. You may be here this morning and you're in bondage to a bad memory or a bad childhood or a bad marriage or a bad this or a bad that. And I want to tell you, I've come here today to tell you, Jesus can set you free. He can set you free from anything. I said he can set you free from anything. John, in John's gospel, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." Who is the truth? Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Freedom is what people need. Freedom from the mess of this world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so we're to love on those who are in prison, and then we're to bless those with special needs. Watch this. Watch this. He says, and recovery of sight to the blind. Now, somebody who's blind is a special needs person, right? Not always. I'm going to tell you what, if you're blind physically, you've got a special need. You know, that's what I'm talking about. What folks with needs like that have is they need ministering to. Special needs folks. People who are challenged. We're talking about physical stuff. People who are challenged physically and mentally. And emotionally. By the way, our Tennessee Baptists have several adult homes. And we take up a love offering for them. On Father's Day, we take up a love offering on Mother's Day for the children's homes. But we have adult homes, and we take physically challenged, we take special needs people in. And we minister to them. And they live there. We save the state millions of dollars by some of the ministries that we do. And how many of y'all remember Bob Golden? Bob was a member of Bikers Who Care. And he told me this before he passed away. He said, "Cal, we need to get involved in ministering to special needs people." I said, "Well, who are you ministering to, Bob?" And he said, "Well, every summer, me and some of my buddies from Bikers Who Care go to Camp Rainbow over in Brandon Springs." And he said, "It's the best week of my year because we minister to special needs children all week long." Get involved in ministering to special needs people. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but 14% of our population here in Montgomery County is made up of veterans. And when you include the active military families, that percentage really rises. But a large percentage of these veterans are disabled. Disabled. And some of them are homeless. I heard the testimony of a woman down here at the Wilma Rudolph Event Center last year. And she was at Fort Campbell for 10 or 11 years, or she was in the military for 10 or 11 years. She'd been stationed at Fort Campbell, and she had to get out because of some disability. But you know what I found out? She had four kids, and they were living in her car. If we'll open our eyes, we'll see folks all around us that have special needs, and we need to minister to that crowd. Where could you go? And Andrew Kester is our Montgomery County Veterans Special Director, and he would love to use some of you second milers to minister to our disabled vets. Where is it that you could be a blessing? And so, what does it mean to be pro-life? Well, it means that we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We preach the gospel in word and deed to poor folks. And we bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. We're to love those who are in prison. We're to bless those with special needs. And we're to liberate those who are oppressed. Isn't that what he said? To set at liberty those who are oppressed. There are several groups that are under oppression today. And I just want to go on record and say this. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. And if you're involved in any kind of racism, stop it. Diana and I went out to Sunday night to the MLK Unity Service. About 400 folks over there at the Christ the Healer Church. And both mayors and their wives were sitting in front of us. Bishop Calvin Lockett was sitting in front of us. And and Diana can tell you, you know, we were in the minority that night. It would do you good to be in the minority somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? Get around some folks that look different from you, that have different skin color. Because what we need to do is all come to the table. Brother James Coles and Pam, they're big about that. I probably shouldn't have said this, but Bishop Lockett was sitting in front of me with his wife, Lenita, and I said, y'all need to come by the house sometime. And he said, you going to cook ribs for us? There'd be a lot better understanding about, and I agree with Martin Luther King, that great statement he made, we should never be judged by the color of our skin. We ought to be judged by the content of our character. And so Acts 17:26 says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the earth. Folks, there's only one race, the human race. And we are to stand against racism. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male or female, for we are one in Christ. Bless God, the ground is level at the cross. We are all equals in God's sight. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't play favorites? He shows no favoritism. God just loves everyone. And if you're pro-life, you've got to be willing to do whatever you got to do to liberate those who are under some type of oppression. Now, there's one other group that some of you may not even know anything about, but I want to tell you this. Human trafficking and sex trafficking is real. There's over 35 million children and adults that are being taken advantage of. I call it modern day slavery. Y'all know what human trafficking is? Let me give you a definition. It is the abduction and recruitment of human beings. I said of human beings by means of force, fraud, or coercion for the purposes of forced labor or sexual exploitation. Children being abducted, adults being coerced or put under pressure to be abused. There's a lot of folks who are under oppression today. And we need to be about the business of helping people get set free. Here's a great prayer. It's out of the kind of fasting, out of Isaiah 58, the kind of fasting that that blesses God. Listen to this. This would be a great prayer this morning. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. And break every yoke. This is what it means to be pro-life. It's so much more than just being anti-abortion. Although we're going to stand for life with those little unborn babies. But we're going to preach and teach the gospel because poor folks need good news. Amen. Amen. And we're going to do our best to minister to the brokenhearted. We're going to love prisoners of any kind. And we are going to bless those with special needs. And we're going to liberate those who are under oppression. And you may be here this morning. And you don't know about this kind of life that I'm talking about, abundant life, eternal life. Can I just say, listen, everybody listen to me. Most important time of the service. If you really want life that matters, Jesus has got it. And the way you get it is real simple, but it did not come cheaply. Our greatest problem is sin. It's what separates us from a thrice holy God. But bless God, Jesus came. Lived a perfect sinless life. How many of you know He's God? That's how He's able to live a perfect sinless life. And He went to the cross and became the sacrifice for my sin and yours. For the sins of the whole world. My Bible tells me if I'd be willing to turn from my sin, to forsake it, to let go of it, to turn in a new direction towards Jesus, and by faith receive what He did for me on the cross and in the tomb. You know, He's not dead anymore. Amen. He's alive. Amen. And you'd call on Him to save you today by surrendering to Him as the Lord of your life. I'm living proof God will receive anybody. And you need to do that today. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an altar call. We're going to ask you to come. You can pray right there in your seat. If you pray to receive Christ, we want to know about it today. And you can't be ashamed and not serve Christ. I mean, you've got to. And we'll talk to you about your baptism. We'll talk to you about getting started right in your new life with Christ. We'll give you some information, some stuff to help you get started right in your new life. But I think many of us today do have life. But we need to move more towards that abundant life. And this altar opens up. Maybe there's somebody in your family that's got a special need. Maybe there's somebody in your circle of influence that really needs to be set free. They're chained to some type of addiction. I want to tell you, prayer is probably the greatest weapon that we have. Maybe some of you, I don't know, are brokenhearted over some other issue. I was talking to a widowed lady yesterday in her home, and she said, oh, I need a church family. Oh, I need a church family. I don't know, whatever it is. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to open up this altar. There'll be people here to pray with you. I'll pray with you and for you. If you've prayed to receive Christ today, if you do that, I want to know about it. We're not going to ask you to preach a sermon or sing a song, but we are going to get your contact information because we want to get you started. We want to get you following Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. As someone said earlier, this is the day the Lord has made, and we just rejoice. I don't believe it. People are here by accident today. I believe everybody that's here was supposed to be here. And so, God, I pray these decisions that are on our hearts, I pray that you would give us Holy Ghost boldness and that you'd fill this altar up with prayer warriors that we might be ministers of life in the lives of others. That's why you came, Father. That's why you sent your Son. So God, you do what you need to do right now. And by all means, save souls here today. Change us as we cry out to you and we pray. Oh God, you do what only you can do. And we promise to give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' sweet name, we pray. Brother Andrew's going to lead us in a hymn of response. Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.